Your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 12, and what a joy to be here. I appreciate all the singing tonight, by how it has ministered to my heart, and boy, I do have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I may not have what the world calls riches or even their line of success, what they call success, but being saved is the best thing ever happened to me. And I do have more than this world will ever know about. Amen. And I can say this too. What I have will last forever. Their riches down here, they're going to decay. They'll burn up. They'll cease to be. But what you and I have in Jesus Christ will last forever tonight. Amen. I praise the Lord for that tonight. Again, Psalm 12 tonight. You're willing, able, stand if you will. Psalm 12, and I'll read all 8 verses of this psalm, and then we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. And you do pray, God, to touch us tonight. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Amen. And so I covet your prayers tonight. Psalm 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for this great opportunity one more time, this side of heaven, to assemble in your house. I pray now for just a little while. Help each of us to look beyond one another. Help us to hear what you have to say to us tonight in this psalm. Lord, I thank you that you are a present help in the time of trouble. I'm glad that you're not a God afar off, but you are a God that's nigh. Lord, I ask you tonight that indeed you'd show yourself mighty in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, save that soul near as hell in this service tonight and bring yourself glory. And we'll thank and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 1 tonight, where the Bible said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." I'll preach on them first 2 words tonight, simply on the subject of "Help, Lord." Help, Lord. This is a psalm of David. And the psalmist David, oh, how many times have we gone and read these psalms and received help? David knew what it was to need God's help. He knew what it was to have trouble, had to have family turn on him. He knew what it was, had to have King Saul after him. He knew what it was to have physical affliction. And yet you find him calling out and crying for help. And tonight, can I say to you and I here tonight, I'm glad we can cry out and say, "Help, Lord." Oh, friend, sometimes that's all I know to pray. In life, you can get to the place that life gets perplexing, and life can get you so confused and burdened down that you don't even know what words to use when you get in the secret place. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, those words, "Help, Lord," I sure do get heaven's attention tonight. Oh, friend, there have been times I've got along with God and my soul began to say, "Help, Lord, help, Lord."
Matter of fact, I'm reminded every time I read this psalm. Years ago when I was pastoring in Virginia, one Saturday afternoon I was in my office studying, and I was just burdened down there. Some things are going on, and I saw the pressure and the spiritual warfare, probably some of the most severe I saw at that young age. And I began to pray and couldn't get words to form, and I began to cry out, "Help, Lord." Matter of fact, at the top of my lungs, I was pouring my heart out to God. I didn't know the cleaning lady had showed up, and I about scared her to death. So she thought the preacher is getting murdered back in his office. But what I was doing, I was pouring my heart out. And sometimes you just get out and you just got to say, "Help, Lord." Oh, friend, I began looking at this psalm afresh and anew today. There's three things I want to talk about and look at in this psalm as we talk about and preach the subject of help, Lord. First of all, we see the desire of this cry. For he said, "Help, Lord." That word "help" does mean to save. It means to free. It means to defend or deliver. It means to preserve or to rescue. It also means to aid or assist, to give strength, to relieve or to succor. Hey, I'm glad that you can get help tonight. That word "succor" is not a word we use a lot in our modern day. Our King James Bible uses it in different places. That word "succor" means to run to. Have you ever need the Lord to run to you? I mean, you felt like you was about to go under and you just said, "Help, Lord." Oh, friend, there was a desire there that he would come and support. I come to help and relief in time of difficulty or woe or distress tonight. Oh, the desire of our heart. By the way, some of the best praying you will ever do is when you get beyond forming sentences. Amen. When you get beyond knowing the right words to say, but your heart begins to yearn and desire help from God. Amen. Oh, there is a desire of this cry. By the way, a man doesn't get help unless he first admits he needs help. Amen. Sometimes we're bullheaded. That's right. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we're in such a place in our Christian life that we need the help of somebody else. Well, you'll never get help till you first admit that you need help. Can you imagine a drowning man in the ocean? He is trying his best to stay afloat. He is mere moments from drowning. And folk come by and say, "You need something." "Oh, no, I'm doing fine." Amen. But don't we do that a lot spiritually in our lives? Oh, we are so bad off and we're afraid to admit it. But you'll never get help until you admit, "I need some help." Hey, no, you're going to have to admit some help. You need help. You got to desire help. You got to want some help. Amen. I mean, really, from your soul, want help. That's right. No, that lets this, you're going to have to reach out for the help. Amen. Same as a man drowning. He is about to go under. You say, "Do you need help?" "Yes, I'm drowning." Well, maybe you can swim out to him. Maybe you can't swim, so you throw him a life jacket or a life preserver with a rope where you can pull him in. But that man, when you throw the help, don't reach out for it. He begins to knock it away. He doesn't reach out and get what's there to rescue him. You know what? Sometimes we do that in our Christian life. God sends the help we need, and we just keep on acting like we don't need it and don't reach out for the help that's available. Amen. Hey, some of you may have heard that story about that fellow that was in a flood and he wound up on his roof and he began praying and said, "Lord, I need you to send somebody. I need you to rescue me." Well, sure enough, here comes a boat. And they said, "Sir, you need some help." He said, "No, the Lord gonna take care of me." and he goes away, and somebody else a while later comes by on a boat and, sir, it looks like you're in bad trouble. How would you get aboard this boat? We'll get you to sea. Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. He'll take care of me. Well, the man drowned and died. And but when he stood before God, he said, Lord, why didn't you save me? Why didn't you rescue me? He said, I done sent two boats by and you wouldn't get on them. Amen. Sometimes we get like that, don't we? We don't reach out to the help that God has to be available for us tonight. We see the desire. He wanted help. Not only that, secondly, notice the direction of the cry. For he said, help, Lord. Hey, he ain't calling on no man. He's got in such a shape that man can't help him. And you can get there. Now, don't take this wrong, but hear me what I'm saying right here. If you come in this invitation, preacher, pray for me. Pray with me. I'd do it. You could call me on the phone. Preacher, I've got this need. Help me pray. I'll do it. But I want to tell you something. I can't fix it. Amen. There are some things, a whole lot of things, not some things, a whole lot of things that the preacher can't do. Amen. But we serve one who can do anything. There's nothing impossible with him. Nothing that he can't do. Amen. Hey, if he can make this world, and he did, and he keeps it a spinning in its orbit, oh, hear me tonight. I keeps everything running on schedule. I'm the one that did that. He can and will help you tonight. Oh, friend, he is direct. He said, help, Lord. Amen. Hey, in this spiritual warfare, you need him. In life in general, you need him. We can't do nothing with that. His direction of this cry is to the Lord. He knows that man can't help me. It's beyond what man can do. Oh, friend, as I pray and different one giving me prayer requests to help him, pray about glad to do that. Because you know what we're doing? We're talking to the one that can do something about it. Somebody shared something with me that last Sunday, and I said, we'll do what Jesus said in the Gospels. We'll touch and agree. We're going to believe God together. And I want to tell you something, God done it this morning too. Amen. Hey, it is possible. Things are possible with the God that you and I serve today. Oh, friend, there is that desire of this cry. There is the direction of this cry. But I want to notice thirdly tonight at the desperation of this cry. The psalmist David has got to the point of desperation. Hey, I know that ain't a good feeling, but it's a good place to be. Because when you get desperate, you begin to seriously seek the Lord. Amen. As long as we can do anything, we don't seek him. And that's right. It's not your heads like this. Because that's right. As long as we can do something, we're going to do it. But when we get to the point of desperation, we know everything else is over with. We began with all of our heart seeking the Lord. There's some things get you to that place of desperation. You understand? I look at these things here, at this desperation, this cry. I'll spend more time here than I did on the other 2 points. But you hear me? There's some things that drove the psalmist to this place. You say, what were they? Well, first in verse 1, the godly man ceaseth. Hey, it's getting bad in David's day. You know what? You look around you tonight, and the godly are ceasing in this country. Amen. We don't have as many God-fearing people in this nation as we one time did. Amen. Hey, what's going on? I believe people that's supposed to be salt and light have failed to be that. The godly man is ceasing. Now, don't you listen to something here. There's some reasons why the godly man ceased. One, there's the death of the godly. We've even this year, we have buried some out of our church family who were godly people. They knew God. Hey, death is starting to take away some of them that's living godly. Hey, I'm glad for the generation that raised me up in the house of God. I'm glad for them. They were godly men and women. Hey, church wasn't a show. Amen. Church wasn't something if you didn't have nothing else to do on Sunday. They looked forward to Sunday. Amen. You know one reason they shouted like they did? They was already overflowed for the guy here. Amen. They wouldn't having to talk themselves into it. Hey, they'd been talking in fellowship with him so much during the week and living a godly life and having a good close fellowship with God that it was an overflow at church. Amen. Hey, but we're burying that generation one by one. I buried some mentors this year. Men that instilled some things and took time with me as a young preacher and me driving them crazy. And you reap what you sow. Amen. I got seven of them to prove it. Amen. That's right. I can identify with every one of them fellas. You don't understand. Some of you say, well, they ought to do that. I have been at every interval that these boys have got to. I've been there. Amen. But you know what? Somebody come and instilled in me and prayed with me and encouraged me. That's what I'm trying to do with them. Amen. But you look around. The ones that have great impact, and they're slowly, one by one, time keeps going on, are going by the grave. None of us are going to live forever. Those that walk with God and are closer, man, you want them around as long as you can keep them here. But death takes some of the godly out. But can I say not only death takes out some of the godly, but departure of the godly. Because we've got folk that's been in it for a long time beginning to fall by the wayside. That's heartbreaking to me. I know men and women who at one time were faithful to the house of God and they have departed from the church house. They have departed from the things of God. Hey, that's what's happened. The godly man, see, hey, not only that, there's a decline of the godly. There's not as many stepping up. Amen. That's right now. Hey, young people, I want to tell you something. The reason we got the youth choir going and the primary choir going, the reason young preachers, we do this Sunday night, having you preach and lead, is because somebody's got to be ready to step in this place when others go off the scene. Amen. Hey, and let me say this, and I believe you're going to understand what I'm saying. I have not filled Dr. Stewart's shoes. You don't fill another man's shoes. You follow the path and pick up where they leave off. That's right. That's what I've done. I ain't trying to fill nobody's shoes. You can't do that. Amen. But you can be right with God yourself and walk close to God yourself and follow God. Amen. Hey, there's a decline of the God. And we don't need to be on a decline. We need to be on an incline. Amen. Hey, all of us here can walk with God. Everybody that's been saved, you can walk with God. So he has got to a desperation point. This psalm, to be honest, man, it sounds like America to me. I believe application's all right to put her there too. Because, friend, around us, the godly man ceases. Seem like getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Not only that, but he said this. He said in verse 1 also, and the faithful fail. I don't want to fail. Do you? I want to finish right. The lady sung it this morning. I want to finish well. I don't want to just say I finished. Everybody can say they finished, but I want to finish well. That's right. You can finish with glory in your soul. You don't have to, you ain't got to finish this race on memories of how it used to be and what you one time did. You can finish well. Amen. He said, I'm looking around. The godly man ceases. The faithful fail from among the children. And it's driving him to this desperation of crying, help, Lord. No, that, but notice their speech in verse 2 through 4 is driving him to cry out for help. You see, first in verse 2, their speech is empty. For it said they speak vanity. That word does mean empty, void, useless, no weight to it. We're in a day where they talk more about frivolities, things that amount to nothing, more than they'll talk about the things of God. And there's nothing wrong about fishing and sports in their place and if they're treated correctly. But ladies and gentlemen, when we have more time for the empty things of life than we do the powerful things of God, we got in bad shape. Amen. And I'm going to say this and I'll move on. I can tell where your heart is being around you long enough for what you want to talk about all the time. That's right. Same with me. What our heart is really on, we'll talk about the most. Amen. I'm trying to help us here tonight. We need to understand, hey, somebody better get crying out for help from the Lord. Amen. Because we're seeing, just as it was in David's day, we're seeing it today. No, they're empty words, but hey, they're flattering words. Said with flattering lips and with a double heart, do they speak? Man, you talk about a generation that's can, and everybody running from office right now can flatter real good. Amen. They are promising the moon. Right? Don't get nervous. I'm not going to name nobody. Because as far as I'm concerned, put them all in a brown paper sack, shake them up, and they fall out. If they don't have a name tag, it'll be hard to tell which side they on. Hey, man, that's where we're at in America. Amen. I mean, but we ain't scratching the bottom of the barrel. We're digging through the barrel. That's right. Hey, we find with flattery lips. No, that they said this. They're proud. Their speech is proud. Verse 3 said, the Lord should cut off all flattery lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Everybody wants to tell you what they've done and what they can do. Amen. Some of them. I met a few folk, they won't tell you they're humble and meek and all this, but here, if they had an opportunity to write a book, here's what they'd entitle it. You ready? Humility and How I've Attained It. Amen? Oh, yes. Why, pride. Pride. Not only being proud, but listen, we find there also in verse 4, their speech is against God. For the Bible said, who has said with our tongue what we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Hey, friend, they talk against God this day like it's nothing. Amen. I mean, some they cuss God and they don't want to believe in God and they just all the time. They hate Him. They hate Him, this world does. Hey, I don't know about you, but I see more and more of this. My heart begins to cry out more to God. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Hey, no, that, but notice in verse 8, the wicked are abounding. Man, here's a verse that describes America to a T. Did you notice that when we read it? Look at it again. Psalm 12:8. Look at it. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. It's not just the political realm, though they're there. Vile people. But it's in the sport world. They're vile, some of them. Listen, it's one thing just to be arrogant because of talent. It's another thing to think you can do anything and nobody do anything about it. Amen. I ain't never forgot this. Now, these kids probably don't know who in the world this pickleball player is. I wouldn't name him, but when he come out with AIDS so many years ago, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. They began to put that dude up on a pedestal. He's going to go talk to young people and try to influence him not to make some mistakes. I'm going to tell you something. They were glorifying that fella. Here's why I said that. I ain't never forgot that. We was at my wife's parents' house that day, right in the thick of all that, and that was mentioned. And buddy, I told you before, my wife's papa's a mountain preacher. He ain't afraid of nothing. He's real. And I saw him that day cut a television off and preach on the wages of sin for 45 minutes right there in that living room. Amen. And he did right. Amen. Hey, what? When the vilest men are exalted, then we find out the wicked walk on every side. Amen. That's so in every, hey, Hollywood, what about that crowd? Amen. All the vileness that they're producing, and it's producing men more wicked than their own selves. Amen. David said, that's what's driving me to cry, help, Lord. Oh, God, if you don't help us, we're in trouble. And I want to say to us here at Gateway, if we don't get at that desire and if we don't get it in the right direction and we're not desperate enough, hey, we're going to lose our nation. Amen. We need to be the people of God as we should be and cry out to God who can do something about this mess. Oh, friend, today David said, help, Lord. Hey, it could be right here tonight. Maybe there's something in your family or with a friend or a neighbor, a situation at work, situation at school. There's some kind of pressure, some kind of burden on you. I'm telling you, cry out for help to the Lord. That's your answer. Man, we're here, you know, He talks about the Word of God in verse 6 and 7. I thought about this today. I really did. I thought, we're more interested in programs than we are the power of God in our day. And we're more interested in books than we are the Bible. Amen. I don't go through a Christian bookstore a lot. It bothers me. That sounds crazy. I'm going to tell you why it bothers me. All that mess they got on them shelves. All of it ain't about the Bible, friend. If you took out all that psychology stuff that half that crowd's got, you'd about empty them shelves. It ain't psychology that people need. It's the preaching of this Bible that they need. Amen. And simple preaching, as I've done right here today, there ain't nobody got to scratch your head when they leave. What did the preacher say? Get it down. One fellow said, get the cookies on the bottom shelf for everybody. Amen. Make it plain. Make it simple. Hey, because the answer is simple. Amen. It ain't never changed. The answer's not. Amen. Hey, the psalmist said, when all this is going, I began to cry for help from the Lord. Oh, that's what we need to do. Hey, mama, daddy, maybe you're burdened about one. Cry for help from the Lord. Oh, don't you give up. Don't you give up. You keep a crying to the Lord for help because He is a present help in the time of trouble tonight. Father, take the message. Use it for Thy glory. Lord, I'm glad we can cry to You. I'm glad the psalmist said this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. I'm glad that You hear us tonight. Oh, Father, help us, I pray, in the invitation. You know the need of every heart, every life in this place tonight. We ask You to work in every situation. Bring Yourself glory, and we'll thank and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I've tried my best to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart for this evening. And I don't know your need. I don't. Some have shared some things, but I know this, and all the years been saved, we don't share everything that's about on our heart. But I am glad I can tell you the Lord's ears open to you. And we need to begin crying out to Him. I'm concerned for my children. Concerned for the possibility the Lord doesn't come, time goes on, of grandchildren. What they're going to face in our own country. Because every one of us, as 40 and above especially, will be honest and tell the generation now here, this is not the America we were raised in. It don't resemble the same thing. Oh, we need to be crying out to the Lord. I want us to stand tonight. Whatever you need, come to the altar tonight while we sing.